Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 37 on February 25th, 2013. Oh, I hope this all finds you well. My life is rolling along. There's a lot going on. I heard back from the guy who was having a hard time asking for what he wanted regarding anal play with his partner. You may recall she discovered what he didn't like because of his clenching. So I urged this man to just basically try real hard to open up his mouth and tell her what he likes. And I want to read you his response. Ruby, I'm one of those who opens up his ass but keeps his mouth shut. Well, you see, we are kind of too shy at this point to ask for what feels good, but we do tell each other how it felt after the session. I think I'm growing tiny balls these days. I'm going to try and talk, and we'll let you know about it. These days I can easily accommodate two fingers, and so can she. We do it to each other simultaneously, but the position is kind of awkward when we have fingers up each other. Though we start out with that, one of us takes the lead and decides to pleasure the other. We are unselfish in that. Oh, I'm quite thrilled, and even more so imagining myself on the cover of your upcoming bestseller, or your subject in a session where you demonstrate how it's done properly. So, this guy has experienced some great progression in his anal explorations with his partner, and they're improving in their communication with each other because, after all, talking afterwards is much better than not talking at all. Sometimes that sort of afterward talking about what happened is really sweet. And also, growing tiny balls is better than none at all, too. Now, as far as me demonstrating on you, dude, I would make you talk because I am all about communication. So there you have it. Okay, here we have a letter from a newcomer. Here is this guy. Okay. I'm a 23-year-old guy from Indiana who is interested in the expertise you have acquired through your strap-on and pegging experience. So I'm definitely a versatile, creative, flirtatious, especially when I can find a woman who is as saucy as I can be, can complement my boyish side with her girly side, or can match my smooth side. I'm also more on the passionate side when it comes to sex, but I have a couple of kinks. I have also found myself to not be into men for a number of reasons. I love everything about heterosexual sex in relationships, and I totally love that, cherish it, and believe myself to be able to find the woman of my dreams eventually. So, my question for you is, how would I know how to find a woman who would be willing to experiment with pegging? My instinct is to want to find a woman who is obviously more open-minded and is likely to be more freaky sexually, tends to be well-educated, well-spoken, is very loving and compassionate, and is savvy with people. But all of that just complements and bolsters a couple of different sides of my personality and leads to better chemistry, in my opinion. I really love for the intimacy I have with the women I am dating or in a relationship with to be mutual and for us to be teammates, maybe even partners in crime. To get to the point, does it make sense for me to find a woman who is comfortable with being a switch? What would you suggest? Okay, for you listeners who are not familiar with BDSM terminology, a switch is a person who enjoys both the dominant and the submissive role and can switch between the two. First off, I think that all those attributes you listed that you're looking for in a partner sound great for a close, intimate relationship, and that's usually what makes pegging more enjoyable. As far as what might increase your odds that a woman enjoys pegging or would be open to it, there are no guarantees that a switch woman will want to do pegging, but she will likely have more of that take control energy that fucking someone requires. There's been, and there probably always will be, a fair amount of discussion about whether or not pegging is inherently submissive for the man. I think it's true to some extent, but, you know, there's so many different shades of purple, because that book ruined the other expression. A woman who has some dominant underpinnings might do better at it, But I've also heard from women who felt at a loss when it came to running the fuck. And I've heard from men who were frustrated that their woman couldn't seem to take control and run things. But, you know, these can be learned skills. And the thing is that sometimes a woman who seems very submissive can really surprise you when pegging uncovers a dominant side that she didn't even know she had, much less had any appearances of dominance from the outside. So, yeah, you know, there's no guarantees. As I've said many times, being a dominant man does not preclude pegging either in a relationship. In fact, there's a blog I recently got alerted to from a friend of mine, and it's called Silver Drops Toy Box. And there's a post on it by Silver Drops' husband, who is dominant. The cool thing about this and where it fits into what we're talking about is he talks about what it feels like to get fucked by her. And it's an amazing read. I linked to it on my blog, and I also made a separate post that will go up today as well. It's quite interesting because he's dominant, but that does not seem to be an issue for them, not at all. So, you know, the thing is that we all have these sides of ourselves, dominant and submissive. And when I say that, you know, I'm certainly not expecting all your listeners to get into hardcore BDSM. I just mean that naturally, we're leaders or followers, givers or receivers. And in the bedroom, men are more often the leaders, the givers, the dominant ones, while women are more often the receivers and the submissive ones. Pegging gives us a chance to switch roles, and it's an amazing thing to explore. So, short answer, yeah, a switch would decrease the learning curve if she's into it. So good luck. Let us know when you find somebody. Tell us your success story. Send us the information. Okay, this was a really fun one to get, this letter. Here was the subject line. More guys in heels. Isn't that cool? He goes on to say, we expect our girls to dress for sex, but when trading places, I'm not seeing too many guys truly willing to completely make the switch. Come on, guys. Where are the high heels and short skirts? Do you love your girls or not? Do you really know what it is like to be vulnerable when you've not experienced getting jammed while balancing in 6-inch heels? What's good for the goose? Great, great letter. That was awesome. I love that Pegging Paradise welcomes everyone. That's what I love. You know, welcome to the couples who just like loving sensual pegging all by itself. Welcome to the bisexual men who like pegging as well as the real thing sometimes. Welcome to the men who like to wear a pair of panties or stockings for contrast once in a while. And absolutely welcome to the crossdressers and their lovely detailed descriptions and delight in clothing, hair, makeup, stockings, and of course, the shoes. I have heels that are 5 inches and they make me 6'4". And interestingly enough, I feel powerful in them. Of course, I'm not getting jammed. I'm usually gathering a man in my arms who is often reaching up to kiss me. Thank you for your letter, Guy in Heels. Okay, here's another one. I'm not even going to introduce this. I'm just going to read it. Hi, Miss Ruby. I just wanted to say, first off, thank you for encouraging the idea of pegging. I'm a huge fan, though I have yet to try it myself. I have a question for you. I read one of your blog posts, and I can't remember which one. I apologize in advance for that. But it detailed a man's experience with a dominatrix. It was filled with vivid detail, but I remember him, I remember him talking about how he provided a typical round of foot cleaning, panty gagging, a little ass worship, and then she used a strap-on on him. I thought this practice, if he did indeed pay the dominatrix, would be seen as being illegal. Okay, goodness, indeed it is in many places. There's a lot of things that surround this, and I can't say as I'm the most well-informed person to tell you all the legalities of it, because honestly, the legalities differ from state to state. There also seems to be irregular enforcement in some states. A few states allow it, and sometimes professionals skirt the issue, seemingly, at least this is what it appears, by charging for the consultation. And then whatever you agree to do afterwards is between the two of you. I think it's largely illegal, but they're finding a way to do it, and more power to them. That's my attitude about it. I mean, other countries allow it no problem, and I wish the USA would stop getting their panties in a twist about sex workers and legalize it already. Yay, Nevada. The blog post you are talking about is probably Miss Lauren, and I will post the link for you to enjoy that. And, you know, interestingly enough, about this subject, a woman who attended one of my classes last year called herself a tantric massage practitioner, and sure, she was a sex worker, but she told me after the class that she had so many men coming to her and asking for pegging that that was why she came to my class. She shook my hand before she left, and she said, "You are going to make me so much money." And, you know, I'll bet her customers appreciated her continuing education. And now, I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. It's pegging celebration time. I've been getting a number of stories about excellent communication between couples around pegging, and that is absolutely a reason to celebrate. Listen to this man's story. Dear Ruby, first off, I would like to commend you on your podcast and thank you for the same. It is a truly inspiring work that you are doing with the medium of podcasting. The information you're relaying is so awesome and important for sex positivity in a very sexually restrained world. I love your delivery, your silken voice that radiates acceptance, the content and the music in front of and behind all the talk, and whatever you did for your sound quality after a number of the first episodes is great and has worked amazingly. How is that for a nice slobbery compliment for you and your work? Now let's talk butts. I'm a 39-year-old blue-collar, slightly intellectual, physically active, sexually open-minded married man. My wife is a beautiful 36-year-old, professionally successful, spiritually heightened, semi-vanilla woman. We have been together for about 12 years and married for half of that. We've had our ups and downs, as with any relationship, but all in all, we are quite happy with each other. With that said, I brought up the idea of strap-on play a while back, probably 3 years ago, give or take. Her initial reaction of, "Are you gay? I've never known anyone else that's into this. It's really weird," was commonplace now that I've heard the information that's out there. We have talked about these issues, the misgivings and fears, to avail some soothing in the anxiety about it. It is very tough to talk with her about sex in general because of her perceived notions of sexuality. It's very, whatever happens in the bedroom stays in the bedroom and isn't really expressed verbally, which is hard to accept for myself when I'd love to jibber-jabber about all kinds of stuff. For a specific instance, concerning how she feels sometimes, kissing me after my dick has been in her mouth or after I go down on her. When I bring it up, she says it's gross. And my words in response are, "We're married, monogamous, I know where my dick has been, it's clean, and it is skin that is attached to my body, it's okay to kiss. Your pussy is beautiful, tasty, and clean. We can share a kiss after, if we're feeling hot." I fucking love kissing and fluids. I am right there with you, sir. We have also talked about why we feel the way we do about sex, and specifically anal, but that is for another email. I also love anything and everything anal. She has come to be okay with it. She actually likes a thumb in her ass while we fuck, occasionally, and on other occasions she accepts my dick in her ass. And on the other side of the coin, she has indulged in finger-fucking me while giving me head. At first, it was tentative and a bit weird for her, but when she saw the earth-shattering orgasms I had while she worked me over, it was a total turn-on for her. One time, while she had her finger jamming across my prostate, my dick in her mouth, and a hand working my shaft, I came so hard that my legs went wobbly, and I laughed so hard I almost cried at the intensity of the joy. Laughing from orgasmic joy was really amazing and new. Through seeing that, she started to moan and make a ton of noise herself. This is all great, but it has been a long time coming. GGG takes a while sometimes. So here's the rub. After about 6 months of being fingered on occasion, I call it her specialty blowjob, I brought up pegging again. I read her your description of what will hopefully become your bill talk. Very well written. Like I said, it's tough to talk with her about sex, and even harder when asking for something I'm not even super confident about. She says she feels pressured no matter how I bring it up. It's been almost 3 years with no advances on her part, but I brought it up like a big boy should. On Valentine's Day, with confidence, told her how sexy she is and would be, donning a strap-on and fucking me to oblivion, considering how intense it is with her finger. That I want to let go and feel the fullness of getting fucked and let her take the lead. She actually said in the car ride home from dinner that yes, she will do it, that in the near future she will give it a try. I am so stoked, I can't believe it. I've sent and showed her your website, but she has not read even the FAQs. I will actually sit with her and read them with her pretty soon. During all of this, I've asked her numerous times what her fantasies are, what would she like me to do to her, if anything. She has expressed that she just loves it when I make her feel wanted, sexy, beautiful, and I take her and make her come. I can deal with that, even if I think it's regular. Actually, I've tied her up and poured baby oil over her and fucked her like that, and she loved it. I think she may be kinkier than I think, but is just not into expressing it. I just wanted to write and say thanks, and I'll keep you updated with our adventures. I'm so jazzed that you are doing what you're doing. I love it. I guess this is a success story. Almost. Wow. Absolutely a success story in terms of your communication. Wow. You did this so well. You had such patience and persistence. You talked with her about her fears. You presented it lovingly and confidently when you finally asked her again. I mean, I know this was a long time coming, but you're kind of like the perfect example of the ideal communication with your spouse. And yeah, I know you had to wait a long time. 3 years must have been difficult. But rushing it and pushing things can all too often be disastrous. Certainly, I'm not saying that everybody else has to wait 3 years, but, you know, good for you for what it sounds like is you kind of took a deep breath at a certain point and said, okay, it's time. But not just because it took you that long to screw up your courage, also more sort of like, I think the time is good now. So whatever it was, good job. And I'm blown away that you read her my description of the bill talk, which I will indeed be giving on the main stage, but more about that later. And I had some help with that description from my friend over at sexualcandor.com. So he gets some of the credit. I ran that by him. He made some great changes in it. I am really looking forward to your updates. I danced for your communication success this time, and I'll dance again when you two actually go for it. That music I play always makes me dance. And success stories like yours make me so happy I can't keep from dancing. Thank you very, very much for sharing your story with us. It's heartwarming and inspiring and exciting all at the same time. Okay, what did I do to improve the sound quality? I said a while back, some of my podcasts, I bought a $100 microphone instead of the original headset that I started with that produced pretty darn crappy sound quality. Since then, with the help of a couple of friends who are experienced audio guys, I've learned the finer points of this fine piece of equipment. Just like it takes some time to learn how to use a nice strap-on, right? I'm glad it sounds great now, and all the better for you guys to listen to my podcasts. In fact, coming up soon on my agenda is recording all of my erotic stories for my members so they can hear the stories instead of just reading them. And your kind compliments about my voice are very much appreciated and kind of made me blush. I mean, this is the voice I was born with, and I'm just glad it's a pleasure to listen to, so thank you. This is a letter from G and A. I happened across your site last week and immediately loved it and shared it with my wife. We are a married couple who have enjoyed pegging tremendously. It was a long process learning how, both the practical side and the emotional power exchange side. It wasn't always easy, but something kept drawing us back to it, and during the past few years, it's become one of our favorite ways of expanding our intimacy. Sometimes it's with a bit of femdom, and sometimes it's just as lovers, but it's always terrific. And I always wish we were indulging in it more often, which is true of sex in general, when you're parents. We're poly, and pegging has occasionally been a part of play with our circle of friends as well. The advantage of knowing adventurous and loving people. Your site is wonderful, and I only wish it had existed when we first started. As it is, it's fantastic that you're encouraging so many more people to explore pegging. If you ever want testimonials or details of our journey, yeah, we've got some stories. Please let us know. Until then, keep up the good work. And to help, we're going to subscribe and enjoy your stories together. First, thank you for the subscription, and I hope you enjoy the stories. You describe the fascinating adventure a couple can find themselves on when they add pegging to their sexual repertoire. You say it's become one of our favorite ways of expanding our intimacy. That says so much right there. It really does. I mean, that's what I discovered this entire pegging adventure led to in the end, pun intended, is intimacy. I mean, not for all, but for most, and for me. You know, I just wanted to write erotic pegging stories and put them up on the internet, but I knew I would need a blog to attract some attention, so I started writing the blog. And I'm a pretty intense researcher, and I love steep learning curves, so I set out to educate myself about my passion, and it became pegging paradise in the process. I love to teach, to inform, to spread the word so that more people out there will give it a try, and in the process, discover a deeper level of intimacy. You two were pegging long before there was much information out there at all about it, which must have been interesting and perhaps felt rather precarious or untethered in terms of just not knowing what to expect, what was normal, how it all works. What an adventure that must have been. And I will definitely be contacting you for some stories in the near future. Count on it. And thanks for your message. So speaking about pegging and intimacy, I will indeed be at the Bill Conference in Long Beach at 230 Pine Avenue, Long Beach, California. That's 230 Pine Avenue, Long Beach, California. I will be there on Saturday, March 2nd at 4 p.m. on the main stage for a 15-minute talk about how pegging can bring deep intimacy to couples through role reversal. Only 15 minutes, but I'm going to go for it. If you attend, which I hope you will, please say hello afterwards and introduce yourself. I'm offering free hugs. All you have to do is come up, introduce yourself, and ask for a hug. And I put a bunch of links on my website. There's a discount code there, and you can save 20% on your registration. Part of the whole Bill Conference attitude and goal is to provide a kind of shadow experience that is like TED, but much, much more accessible. So it cost $45 for the entire weekend and all the talks. I took a peek at the TED website, and there is an online, there's a way that you can watch it live. You can watch all the talks live right there for the weekend or for the days that it's happening. I'm not sure how many days it is. And it cost $1,000. Oh my God. So yeah, someday perhaps I'll talk at the TED conference. I'm not sure if I'll ever pay to watch it at home, but for now, the Bill conference sounds like an amazing experience to me, and I'm totally happy to be starting there. I'm really looking forward to it. Oh, and there's a party Saturday night too. You know, if you can't make the conference and you're anywhere near Long Beach, you're still invited to the party, and the party is free. They suggest a $5 donation, but they have like three different bands playing, and there'll be a link to it on my blog for information about it. It starts off at 7 p.m. at that same address I gave you, 230 Pine Avenue in Long Beach. It starts at 7, and there's a showing of the film The Singularity, which looks really good. There's a trailer link to it on the Bill website. And then there's dancing and drinking until the wee hours, and they say dress to impress, which I fully intend on doing. By the way, Aneros is kindly sponsoring my trip down to Long Beach. For those of you who don't know about Aneros, Aneros prostate massagers are really a wonderful way for men to discover the pleasures of anal play, and also to provide a great introductory experience to actually prepare for pegging or on the path to exploring pegging. You know, not to mention the prostate health benefits, which is actually what their products were initially designed for. I've been participating on the Aneros Forum pegging thread for some time now, and there I talk with men who want to transition from solo prostate pleasure, which they found through the Aneros products, to pegging with their partners because they have found out about the orgasmic potential of prostate stimulation. So I'll have a few of the Aneros products there to take a look at when I'm down at the conference for you to check them out if you're interested. So far on Pegging Paradise, I have not aligned myself with any manufacturers. I've really, really, really taken my time about that. I've been approached by many wanting to advertise on my website and turned down brusquely the ones who sold toxic toys and, you know, crap like that. I'm really, really particular because not only is it really important for me to give you guys all the right information, the accurate information as best as I know it about this passion of mine and hopefully that, you know, what will turn out to be a passion of yours, but it's also imperative for me to align myself with companies who have high integrity, who would never sell toxic toys, who really care about their customers and all that kind of stuff. I kind of wince sometimes when I'm listening to other podcasts and I hear, you know, them being sponsored by online retailers who sell horrible things to people. It still blows me away how these retailers can sell things that they know are toxic, and they don't give their customers information about how to avoid the toxicity. They don't even acknowledge it exists. So I would never do that, because what I recommend is a reflection on me, and I want that to be the best, because that's what I try and give you guys. So this is the first time I've ever aligned myself with anyone. Aneros was very kind to sponsor my trip down there. That was sweet of them. I asked because I really wanted to talk about their toy. I think it's, and I don't even know if they call it a toy. I do. They have two different websites on it that I've talked about before, but I'll be briefly showing that in my presentation, because I'm going to talk about prostate physiology, about the possible pleasure of it, the health benefits of prostate massage, and then I'm going to move into pegging, role reversal, and then intimacy. So that's kind of how it's all going to go. But yeah, I'm happy that I talked with the CEO of Aneros, and he and I had a lovely conversation, and they're a great company. They really are. So there you have it. I'm done. A little bit shorter of a podcast, but it is once again the wee hours of the morning. on the 26th instead of the 25th. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook profile and a page that you can like. You can subscribe to my blog from my website. My podcast is available on iTunes as well as on my blog. And keep sending your questions and your stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. I'm so looking forward. We've had several, as I mentioned, several stories about, ooh, good communication. I asked and she said yes. And I am waiting for those the follow-up stories, you know. Send those in. I want to read them. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for downloading and listening. And as always, 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 happy pegging.